mission. I'm working for the Lord. Sometimes my way gets hard. Sometimes my way gets dark. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I've got to do King Jesus' will. But when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Church, I'll be there. Oh, yeah. Oh, when the road is called up, I'll be there. Heaven knows when the gates swing open wide, he'll wipe tears. And when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. This road I'm traveling down, it sure get rough sometimes. The hills get so high, and the valleys sure get low. I'm gonna keep on moving on till I reach that other shore. 'Cause when the road is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Church, I'll be there. Oh, yes. Oh, when the road is called up, I'll be there. Heaven knows when the gates swing open wide, he'll wipe tears. And when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. When I hear the thunder a-sounding in the sky, and see the mountains tremble, to heaven I'm gonna fly. King Jesus will be calling, and there'll be no time to miss. 'Cause when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Oh, yes. Oh, when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yeah, heaven knows when the gates swing open wide, he'll wipe tears from my eyes. And when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, I'll be there. Heaven knows when the gates swing open wide, he'll wipe tears. And when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen, amen. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. No, you got to qualify to get there, though. You won't be there just because you said so. You'll be there because you've done some things. Well, and that's not even true either. You'll be there because you've done one thing, and that is that you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If you don't do that, the roll will be called up yonder, but you won't hear your name. But if you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can look forward to that great getting up morning, and they will say, "Come on in." The Lord himself will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." To God be all the glory. Can we just thank God for his goodness? That he loves us so much that in spite of ourselves, he'll still accept us into his heaven. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you now for this preaching opportunity. Use me as you will to glorify yourself. Lord God, let me speak words that are from you and that are what you would have me share. And let the ears that hear and the hearts that receive be fertile ground. And let us be inspired when we leave this place to want to be better doers of your word and not just hearers deceiving ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving glory to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to my sisters and brother in the pulpit with me, to the leadership of this church, the group that is responsible and accountable for leadership, to the members and visitors, we thank you and welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm trying something different today. I had a conversation with Derek and Carl not so long ago, and they said, okay, we'll help you try something different. Now, y'all can sit down, Mr. Jesse. Y'all go ahead. Thank you, ushers. Here's how this goes. If this works out and I decide I like this, it was my idea. I had the vision. But if after a couple of Sundays I say, you know what, the heck with this, it's Carl and Derek's fault because they didn't do right. Amen. This is off then, right? Okay, we're good then. All right, church family, let us turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. This is a psalm that I know is one of Deacon Dupree's favorites because he very often shares it with us in Bible study or noonday prayer. It's one of his favorite psalms. And all of us should have a favorite scripture or something that we should, you know, be able to go to in a time of need. You know, whether it's a whole scripture, it could be just one or two verses, but we know that Psalm 1 is one of Deacon Dupree's favorite psalms. I'm going to read it from the Psalm 1, the first psalm. I'm going to read it from the NIV version. If you're reading it from the King James, it may read a little different. This is what it says. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the Lord's law, that man, that person, meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Finally, verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Church family, just for a few minutes, please let us reason together from this thought. You're either one or the other. You're either one or the other. Our Bible scholars, probably some of you all who study the Bible a lot and you read it a lot, you may already know this, but I recently learned that Psalms is actually just one long, long book. Or one long poem, if you will. And it's divided into 150 divisions. Some people may say chapters. I've heard a preacher recently say, don't call them chapters because they're not chapters. Well, I mean, you know, we could split hairs on anything. But the point is, all of those 150 are part of one rolling long book of poems, right? And it has 150 divisions. And it's organized into five parts. And each of the parts reveals to us a central theme about our God. Amen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For example, Psalm part one, it begins with this psalm we're going to study this morning, division one, and it continues all the way to division 41. So in other words, the first part of the psalm is from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41. And the central theme that connects all of those psalms together is that God is beside us or God is with us. It should give all of us peace of mind to know that Jehovah God is willing to have a close and personal relationship with you and me. I'm going to say that again. It should give all of us peace of mind and encouragement to know that the God who created the universe, he is willing to have a close and personal relationship with you and me. See, I may not ever meet the president of the NAACP. I may not ever meet the president of the United States. I may not ever meet Beyonce or Jay-Z. And even if I do meet them, more than likely I'm just going to meet them somewhere in passing and might get to say hello, might get to shake their hand. But beyond that, they ain't going to know who I am, Juan. I'm just one of a gazillion people that they've met, right? But the God who created the president and Beyonce and Jay-Z, that God, he is willing to have a relationship with us. He knows us by our names, and he loves us just as we are. So that ought to bring us some comfort just right then. As we go through this life, we really don't know what may happen to us, and we don't know what might happen to somebody that we care about from day to day. But no matter what challenges we face, we can be hopeful and encouraged to know that the God who created everything under the sun, he's always with us. God stands ready to help us if we will humble ourselves and ask for his help. Now, it's our choice. DeVito, you know, you've heard me say this sometime before. Sometimes the reason why some of us have some stuff going on in our lives that we could get over and get past and have some victory over, we're too proud. We won't humble ourselves to ask God to help us. Because some of us have the attitude, if I can't do it, or mama, or somebody I know, somebody, if somebody else can't do it, another human being, then it can't be done. That's not true. Amen. God, Jehovah God, can do everything. Amen. So it's your choice and my choice if we ask for his help. But if we ask him, he will help us. Now, let's turn our attention here to this Psalm 1 of the first division of Psalms, Psalm number 1. It was probably written by David, who was the shepherd boy that God made the king of Israel. He says there are two kinds of people in this world: people who have a relationship with God and people who don't. That's it. It's simple. There are two kinds of folks in this world. You know, we live in a world today where folks are proud to declare that I'm this and I'm that. And don't identify me as being this person or this way. I'm in the middle. Some people say, no, I'm not either this or that. Now, that's okay. You can do that when it comes to your lifestyle and your preferences. And God allows it. Just because he allows it doesn't mean he approves of it. But he allows it. But when it comes to your soul, and every one of us has a soul, when it comes to your soul, the Bible says you are either one or the other. You're either a person who has a relationship with God or you don't. It's one or the other. There's no third choice. There's no in between. The psalmist begins by introducing us to one kind of person. He calls him the righteous person. And that's not just a man. It's anybody, male or female. The psalmist begins by introducing us to the righteous person. That's the one who has a right relationship with God. But the introduction is strange. Verse 1, it almost seems like the psalmist gives this person a backhanded compliment because he says, blessed is the man, and like I said, that's not just a male, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, the King James says the ungodly. Nor does this righteous person stand in the way of sinners, nor does this person sit in the seat of mockers. Now, let me explain what these things mean, and I'm going to use the Amplified version to explain. When it says that this person, this righteous person, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or of the ungodly, that means this person is not the kind of person that goes and takes advice from people that they know don't know God. If you're not a believer, and I am a believer, why am I come to you and ask you anything? Why am I ask you anything?
around spiritual matters. You know, why am I going to talk to you about stuff that you don't even have any interest in to begin with? You don't even believe what I believe. Doesn't mean you can't have friends and be friends with folks who are not. That's not what it's saying. But when it comes to your soul and matters of morality, matters of integrity, you need to talk to somebody that believes in God like you do. Amen. Then he says, so this person doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Then he says, this person doesn't stand in the ways of sinners. That means that this person doesn't go along with their plans. In other words, you can get around folks who are plotting, always plotting and scheming, trying to get over, trying to figure out how they can cut a corner here, make a profit there, or do something that may not be criminal by the law, but it ain't right. You know, and there are people like that. Well, the righteous person doesn't take counsel from those people. They doesn't go along with their plans. Then he says, this person doesn't sit in the seat of mockers. That means you don't hang out with folks who you know are not up to any good. Not that they can't be you can't have a relationship. You know, you might know they might be at work, might be in your family. But you don't knowingly and willingly associate with folks who are negative and pessimistic. Do y'all know anybody like that? Do you know somebody every time you talk to them, Miss Page is watching, I better use proper English. They don't ever have anything positive to say about anything. And even when you tell them something good that you're excited about, they throw shade on your stuff. DeVito come and said, you know what, I met somebody who knows somebody, and he's going to give me an opportunity to play with Kurt Carr. Oh, you ain't going to play with no Kurt Carr. They just told you that, man. You ain't going to do that. You know folks like that. Well, the righteous person doesn't spend time hanging out with people like that. Doesn't spend time in their company. Beginning at verse 2, the psalmist tells us how a righteous person lives. Says that a righteous person, now remember now, a righteous person is someone who has a daily relationship with God. Says the righteous person delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on God's laws day and night. In other words, the righteous person is happy and excited about making time to read God's word so that he or she can learn more about how to live holy and how to be a blessing to other people. The righteous person is the one who will read the word. The righteous person is the one that will show up to Sunday school when they can. They show up to Bible study when they can. They listen to gospel music. They may not listen all to gospel music, but they listen to gospel music. They do anything that enhances their relationship with the Lord, and they get away from stuff that is contrary and opposite to God's holy nature. Y'all have heard me say this several times, and I know some of y'all have the same testimony. There are a whole lot of things that even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would watch certain programs and go to certain movies and wouldn't think anything about it. And I would say, I'm saved, but I wouldn't think anything about it. And then, but the deeper and the closer I draw to Jesus, what I've come to recognize is that I don't want what I think, say, and do to be displeasing to him. So even when my flesh rises up, thank God for folks that'll put you back in place. Or the Holy Spirit himself will convict you and say, you don't really want to do that. You know that's not pleasing. So that's what a righteous person does. A righteous person is happy and excited about making time to meditate on God's word, to know more about how to be holy and how to be a blessing. I know that's right because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, this is from the English Standard Version, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God, and all scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. What's every good work? Every good work is just being out here from day to day and engaging with people. Because, see, God will put folk in your path for you to bless, and they don't all have to be saved folk. God will use you to bless unsaved folk. Why? Because when you do something for somebody that's unsaved and you tell them why you're doing it, they may come to know Jesus too. You know, why would you go out your way to somebody in the grocery store in front of you don't have enough money to pay for their food. Why would you reach in your pocket, Marcel, and pay that $40 that person's short? For no, you don't want nothing in return. For no other reason than God has blessed you, and you feel like you want to, the Holy Spirit leads you to be a blessing. And your testimony may cause somebody else to get to know the Lord. Maybe not in that moment in time, but they'll say, well, something different about, you know, this person. What is it? So a righteous person will spend time trying to get more closer to God and spend time in his word. Verse 3 tells us some of the blessings, some of the benefits, some of the rewards of being a righteous person. Now, follow along with me in verse 3 if you still got your books, your Bibles open. Verse 3 says, number one, a righteous person is like a tree planted by a stream of water. That means that they are stable in every area of their life. We will have challenges, but we won't lose our minds. You know anything about plants and trees and all? You know, they got roots under the ground, right? They've got to have water to live and to grow, right? The Bible says the righteous person is like a tree that God has planted right beside a stream. So you will never run out of resources. You'll never run out of him giving you what you need to be strong and be stable. Let me keep going. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Number two says, this is still from verse number 3, says the righteous person will yield his or her, thinking about the righteous person as a tree, you will yield your fruit in season. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. In other words, good things will happen for the righteous person at just the right time. Good things, God's favor, will show up in the life of a righteous person at just the right time, because God's time is always perfect. The third part of that says, still verse number 3, the righteous person is like a leaf who has a leaf that does not wither. In other words, you will always have enough to keep going. You will always have enough of what you need. You may get down to your last, but you won't run out. Whether God brings it to you supernaturally, whether he sends somebody to give it to you, God has all kinds of ways of getting stuff to us when we need it. Anybody else a witness? God has all kinds of strange ways to get us what we need when we need it. Sometimes we don't even expect it, and God will bring it about. That's because you are a righteous person. Amen. John 10:10, what did Jesus say? He said that although the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he said, I came that the righteous may have life and have it how? More abundantly. So that's what this is talking about. Amen. Here's the fourth thing. When we have a righteous or right or daily relationship with the Lord, God will provide for our spiritual, emotional, and physical needs. Then number 4, under verse number 3, says that whatever the righteous person does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. The righteous person will have success in every area of their life because they choose to trust and obey the word of God. The righteous person will have success. If you're single, you'll have success. And that ain't got nothing to do about trying to find a husband, trying to find a wife and get married. Be happy being single. Be happy being single. And now if it's your desire to be married, ask the Lord. But while you're waiting, be happy being single. You're going to be successful. You don't need the husband or wife to affirm you in that way. God can make you what he wants you to be while you're single. Husband and wife coming along can be a good compliment. But you don't need to have to wait on a husband or a wife for God to make you fully into what he called you to be. So don't even get hung up on that. But if you're single, if you're married, you're going to have good success. Raising children, you're going to have good success. Taking care of parents, you're going to have good success. On your job, you're going to have good success. In your home, you're going to have good success. Not to say you won't have challenges, but this word says you will have good success. So in other words, you might go through some stuff, but at the end of it all, because you trust and obey God, God will take care of you. He's going to make it work out right. He promises that he will. If you are a righteous person. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 16:3 from the NIV, from the New International Version, it says, Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Listen, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So according to verses 1 through 3, there's one type of person that God calls righteous. Now, we take a hard turn because beginning at verse number 4, the psalmist introduces us to another type of person that God calls wicked or ungodly. This person is the opposite of the righteous person. To use the psalmist's own words, let me describe an ungodly person. An ungodly person deliberately counsels and advises people to commit sin. That's what an ungodly person. Number two, an ungodly person plans and participates in sin with other wicked people. An ungodly or a wicked person relaxes and hangs out with other ungodly people. It's kind of like birds of a feather stick together. And here's what it said about the wicked. It says that they are like chaff that the wind blows away. In other words, God will utterly and ultimately destroy the wicked and ungodly people, so much so that even their thoughts will vanish. Amen. Even the thought of them will vanish because they're ungodly, because they're wicked. Now listen to these scriptures that clearly tells us what happens to anybody who refuses to humble themselves before God and chooses to live in sin. And you think about this. This is what the Bible says happens to people who are ungodly, people who are wicked. Proverbs 14 and 32 says, "The wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies." Psalm 32 and 10, "Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround them." Some people live jacked up lives just because they're wicked. They're just because you can't get anything but negativity because you're living in sin and you're living in willful sin. You know you're wrong and you don't care. And you'll tell folk you don't care because you're doing you. You being your best self and going straight to hell. Doing you, being your best self. And people all around you telling you, yeah, you go, girl. Yeah, you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have the right to. Yeah, you sure do have the right. God lets you do about what you want to, but a payday is coming. A day of answering is coming. And for a lot of folks, it ain't just when they close their eyes and take their last breath. Like I said, some people, the reason why they have the turmoil and the chaos that they have in their lives right now is because of their own decision to be evil, to be wicked, to be ungodly. If they would change, things would immediately change for them. But they won't. God lets us roll like we want to roll to a certain extent. The wicked people, God's going to ultimately destroy them. Here's one, Matthew 13, 49. "So it will be at the end of the age." Listen to this. "The angels will come forth and take the wicked out from among the righteous." The Bible says at the end of the age, angels are going to come and take the wicked, the ungodly, out of the presence, out of the way from the rest of us who are righteous. Verse 5, let's keep moving. Verse 5 says, this is going back to Psalm 1, verse 5. "Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." The judgment here is referring to the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to happen when Christ comes back and reestablishes his kingdom on the earth, and all the souls will be standing before God. Now, first of all, the judgment seat of Christ is for saved folks. That's for the righteous. That's when we stand before God and he reviews our lives. Amen. And then he also will give us rewards for the things we've done to build up the kingdom of God while we lived in a fleshly body. So the judgment that's being referred to here is called the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. That happens when Jesus has come back. He's reestablished his kingdom on the earth. He calls all the righteous people in front of him, and one by one, he reviews our lives, and then he gives us rewards for what we have done. The assembly of the righteous happens in heaven. In other words, there's no way that an unrighteous, ungodly person is going to be in heaven. So when the word talks about the wicked will not stand in the assembly of the righteous, that means that they won't be with us in heaven. But keep going. Verse 6 says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God takes care of his righteous people now, and we will spend eternity with him in heaven. But God will punish the wicked, and he's going to punish them in this life and the life to come. If you die unsaved, you're going to have some stuff happen to you now, and that ain't the end of it. And when you die, you got worse something to look forward to. Now, that's what the Word of God says. That's not Edwin Horst's opinion. That's the Word of God. I've given you these scriptures. You can read it. Read it any version of the Bible you want to. I'm not making this up. This is what the Word of God says. Whether you or I like it or not, whether we agree or not, whether we believe it or not, the Bible says there are two types of people. They're the righteous and the wicked, or the ungodly, if you want to use that word. We are either one or the other. And then you got the group of people who are ungodly, and they're not mean people. They're not ugly people. I'm talking about the way they act. They're not hateful folks. Matter of fact, they're good folks. They're ungodly people who are good people. There are many, and y'all have heard me say this before, there are many, many, many people in the world who are great people. They do all kinds of wonderful things. They give hundreds of millions of dollars if they have it. They go to places around the world, and if they're doctors, they use their medical skills to help people, and they help people get educated, and they go build homes for people. There are many, many, many good people living in this world, but they are unsaved. And because they're unsaved, they are ungodly. They're not, so when the Bible talks about people being ungodly, it's not just talking about people who do stuff like what these crazy folks have done in El Paso and in Ohio. That's not it. They're talking about anybody who is unsaved. If you're unsaved, you are ungodly. If being a good person was the only requirement to go to heaven, God the Father had no reason to sacrifice Jesus Christ for your sins and mine. If the only requirement to get to heaven was just be a good person, then Jesus didn't have to die. Amen. But here's the truth. All human beings are born with a sin nature, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is from 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for our sakes, God the Father made Jesus Christ to become sin, and he never sinned, so that through Jesus Christ we might become the righteousness of God. The only thing that makes us righteous with Jehovah God is when we humble ourselves, confess our sins, and ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We cannot give away enough money. We cannot save enough lives through of unborn babies. We cannot rescue enough people caught up in human trafficking. We cannot support enough humanitarian services. St. Jude's hospitals and Doctors Without Borders, we can support all those things. We cannot go on or pay for enough missionaries to go around the world. Our good deeds don't make us righteous. Our good deeds don't make us righteous. And I know that's right because from Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Listen, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of our works, so that nobody can boast. So that nobody can boast. So here's how good God is. There are people in the world that could come in this church right now, and they have enough money in their bank account to not only pay every bill every one of us has individually, they could buy our houses, they could buy our cars, they could buy our land, you know what? And then they could turn around and give us all the stuff back that they bought from us. There are people that are that rich. They got it like that. Now, you think about if God was a respecter of persons and only people who could do the most could get to heaven. But this verse from Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's not like that. We're only saved because of our faith in Jesus Christ. It is not of our own doing. It's not a result of our works, so that no one may boast. Amen. As I close, I challenge all of us to ask this question. Am I righteous or am I wicked? In other words, am I saved or am I unsaved? Please understand, you're either one or the other. If you're on the wicked side, that means you need to be saved. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ loves you, and he loves you right now, and he loves you just as you are. You don't have to make some dramatic change for Jesus to accept you. All you have to do is humble yourself. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. That's all you have to do, and you can immediately go from being on the side of the wicked or the ungodly to the side of the righteous. If you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you will immediately be changed. One thing is going to happen to you immediately. God, the Holy Spirit, will come and dwell within you, and he will be with you every day, reminding you of what Jesus taught, giving you spiritual gifts, and guiding your life. And number two, you'll receive all the benefits. All the promises of God are laid up for the righteous. God hears the prayers of the unsaved, because if God wouldn't listen to an unsaved person's prayer, nobody could get saved. But there is a difference in the way God treats unsaved people and the way he treats righteous people. The unsaved got to come to God first and ask him to be their savior. But when you are saved, all the promises of God are immediately at your disposal. All you have to do is ask. So on this first Sunday in August, let us leave here today with the thought of being grateful. We can be grateful that Jesus Christ is always ready, willing, and able to save anybody. We can be grateful that Jehovah God, who created everything, loves us so much that he's willing to have a personal relationship with every one of us. We can be grateful that through all the stuff that you know you've done, and I know I've done, and God knows I've done, through all of it, he still showed me mercy. He didn't take me out when he could have taken me out. Matter of fact, not only did he not take me out, he didn't expose me when he had reason to expose me. See, because some of us, we don't have to have anything bad happen to us. People just got to know some of our mess, and that'll ruin most of us right now. Amen. I'm going to raise both hands on that. You can sit here cute if you want to, but I'm going to tell the truth. Y'all heard me say this before. People sing that song, roll back the curtains of memory. No, Lord, don't roll back my curtains. No, sir. Matter of fact, put an extra padlock on my curtains. Put an iron gate there or something, because I don't want y'all to know all that there is to know about me. But I'm so glad, and you can be so glad, that in spite of myself and in spite of yourself, God decided to love us anyhow. And he loves us enough to say, if you'll just ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive your sins, and I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The greatest gift God's ever given us is forgiveness. And he gave it to us through Jesus Christ. Came down through 42 generations. Came wrapped in the body of a human being. Healed the sick, raised the dead, but that's not what he came here to do. He came here to save our souls. And in order to save my soul, he had to die. So Jesus was willing to go up on Calvary's cross. He was willing to have railroad stakes pierced in his hands and railroad stakes pierced in his feet. He was willing to let folks cuss him like a dog, say everything about him, but he was who he was, the Son of God. He was willing to hang on that cross, and people even pierced him in his side. His blood and his water ran out. He was willing to take all of that just so he could save you and save me. Not only that, he went down in a borrowed tomb, stayed there all Friday, stayed there all Saturday. But the word of God says that early, Margaret, on a Sunday morning, my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He got up with all power. The power that he uses to cleanse me from my sin. The power that he uses to keep my mind when I should lose it. The power that he uses to protect me from myself. The power that he uses to keep my enemies from having victory over me. The power that he uses to promote me when I don't even qualify for the promotion. He uses all that power. The power that he uses to make me get up and come back to church when doctors have said I shouldn't be here anymore. That power belongs to our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's available to everybody. But there are some special blessings that are just for the righteous. If you're not saved, God says you're on the wicked side. But you don't have to stay there. Matter of fact, if you think you are there, you're not sure, we can get that straight right now. We can get that straight right now. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, according to the Word of God, you are ungodly. That does not mean you're a bad person at all. That means you haven't humbled yourself and asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. There is a soul, as I've said, that lives inside of every one of us. And when you die, your soul is going to heaven or hell. There's no in between. But nobody has to go to hell, because you can ask Jesus to be your Savior and he will accept you. There's not a person that's living today that can stand and say, I asked the Lord to forgive my sins and be my Savior, and he told me no. Not a one. No. Because the Bible says, he said, whosoever will, anybody and everybody can be accepted. You just have to choose if that's what you want. You want your soul saved? Ask Jesus to be your Savior. You want to have the avenue to experience the best life you can ever live? It's only a life in which you have a daily relationship with Jesus. Listen, everybody, let me say this, and I'm gonna be finished. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows we can't be perfect. That's not his, not perfect in the way we think of perfect. We think of perfect as never, ever doing anything wrong. That's not how God wants, that's not his expectation. His expectation is that we love him more than we love ourselves. And when we get to the point where we love him more than we love ourselves, we will on our own make decisions to try to do those things that we know are pleasing to him and stop doing things that we know don't please him. That's all he wants from us, just to have a willing heart. Lord, I may not be able to be up to your standard of holiness, but Lord, I'm willing to try. Lord, I'm willing to stop doing what pleases my flesh so that I can do what pleases you.